This morning, I want to take a few moments to share with you what I believe is one of the most important aspects of our Christian lives. And that is, the Bible teaches us that we need to be prepared to serve. We need to be prepared to serve. I remember years ago when my folks and I was probably only about 8 at the time, we left the Northern Baptist Church in the hometown that I lived in and went to the First Southern Baptist, and actually the only Southern Baptist Church in the vicinity. The next closest one was in Cedar Rapids. And my folks, when they got saved, let me tell you, one thing that they did is they took all of us to church. And they themselves went with us. And I remember when I started at that age, or maybe a little bit younger, I don't recall exactly, but on Wednesday nights they had different things for kids. They had Mission Friends. How many remember that? Okay. They had GAs. How many remember GAs? Okay. And they had RAs. How many remember RAs? RAs was for the guys at a certain age up until late teens, and that stood for Royal Ambassadors. GAs stood for Girls Auxiliary, and Mission Friends were just a conglomeration of both little boys and girls and teaching them about missions. And I got to thinking about what it was to be prepared. And I thought about the Royal Ambassador motto. Any of those that were in Royal Ambassadors still remember what that motto is? 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors for Christ. I never really understood what that meant, to be an ambassador. That just sounded like a big word that didn't really affect me. But I realized that being an ambassador is being a representative. And I still didn't get the picture of what it was to be an ambassador till in my late 20s. And when I really started understanding the Word of God and understanding and going back to that verse, we are ambassadors for Christ, how we need to understand, and this wasn't just to boys alone, this was for every believer, that we are representatives of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in this world. We are all representatives. Well, being a representative doesn't necessarily mean that you're prepared to serve. It means that we are to take His name into the world, but how are we to do that? How do we prepare ourselves to do that? God's Word is so explicit on how we can do that. You know, some of the things that I learned in Royal Ambassadors was, number one, how to read God's Word and study it. I went from there till I was about 10 years old, till I was 17. I learned how to do man things, go out and camp, although I was never a real successful camper. But it was kind of fun. I learned how to start a fire with nothing. I learned how to tie knots, all except for the bowline knot, and I never could get that one. So, you know, I learned it on, but that's not all that I learned. I learned how to treat young ladies. I learned how to treat women. I learned how to treat children. I learned how to serve in the church. All of these came from that training while I was in that young adult, young man's group. And it helped prepare me in may what be a limited way, but in an important dynamic way, to serve my Lord and my God as an ambassador for Him. Because I want to be an ambassador for Him. If you're a Christian, I would pray that your heart desires to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He is what we're here all about. He is. And so I want to share with you, I have 6 things that I want to share. I'm going to share 3 this morning and 3 tonight. And so I encourage you to come back and finish hearing me out. But I want to share with you, you know, as a pastor, I have had to find myself doing a lot of things that I didn't think I would ever do. Listening to people, listening to their hurts, and trying to encourage them, being with them in times of loss. All very emotional to spend out with people. I could have never done that if God's word and my training and my family and my church has done not help me to prepare me for that. But most importantly, God's word tells us how to prepare. So I want to look today in Galatians. And I want to look in Galatians chapter 1 and begin with verses just 1 through 5. And I'm going to talk about what the Bible tells us and how to prepare ourselves to assist, assume, and accept. Those are the first three things I want to talk about this morning. So if you would, in honor of God's word, would you please stand with me as I read verses 1 through 5 and remain standing for prayer. And the precious word of God says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if there is anyone who thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." Let us pray. My Father and my God, I truly thank you, Lord, for this day, and ask you to be with us during this time of the message and the sermon and your word, most importantly, Lord God, and that the Holy Spirit truly, truly touch our lives today. Lord God, we just thank you. We love you. Be with us now and take us through the remainder of this service in your precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, just in prior to beginning this, you need to understand that this applies to believers and to believers alone. A non-believer, this will be way above their heads. They're not going to understand it. But we here today, as believers and Christians, we need to get this. We need to understand how to prepare ourselves to help others. And you know what? We can start by doing that in our own body of Christ. Because you know what? We have folks in our own church, in our own body, that need help. And so as we look at this, and please, if you're sitting here today wondering what I'm talking about, know that to be a believer in Jesus Christ means that you have surrendered your life to his work. And his work was to die on the cross for our sin. And it is his blood that cleanses us from that sin. That's the only way you become a believer. It's not through water baptism. That is a testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ. It is through receiving the Lord God himself in the flesh as Jesus, and we then turn our lives and surrender it over to him. My question sometimes is how surrendered are we? Think about that. How surrendered are we? Are we only so surrendered that we're willing to go so far? Are we so surrendered only that we're willing to, as long as it doesn't infringe upon my time, my desires, where I want to go and what I want to do, and we stop short of that? We are absolute vessels chosen, made for, and to contain God's holiness and his righteousness and his word to a world and to each other. I've always believed that before we can take it to a dying and lost world, we got to start at home. I've always believed that. We cannot be effective out there if we're not effective in here. Are we ambassadors for Christ? Are we really fulfilling the place of reflecting Jesus Christ in our life, in what we do, how we talk? Are we really doing that? Well, as Paul writes to the Galatians church, he says the first thing that we need to do in verse 1 is that when a Christian fails, we need to be humbly prepared to restore them in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at what he says. If he's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Now, what does it mean to be overtaken? It means to have been overtaken by the enemy, by sin, by the flesh, and we have failed. Everyone that is a believer in this congregation has failed at some time or another. And I can say that because we're not perfect. We will not be perfect till we shed this body and we spend eternity with Him. So therefore, we fail as well. Think back, has there been anyone that has stood there and assisted you in your time of failure? I have had those. And that was some of the most important times in my life when I needed somebody the most. Not somebody that would criticize. Not somebody that would point fingers. Not somebody that would judge me because I failed. But somebody that reached out to me with humility and gentleness and encouraged me and prayed for me. You see, in this whole passage, that whole verse there, I think there's a key to that. And the key says that the one who is spiritual. Unfortunately, not everybody sitting in a church is spiritual. You know what it takes to be spiritual? Know God's Word. Let the Holy Spirit reveal truths to you that will cause you to grow, that will bring about the fruit of the Spirit in your life, gentleness, kindness, all those different things. But in our churches today, we're too quick to criticize and to judge. You got to be a spiritual person to be able to assist somebody. And you know, it's sad to say I have seen more Christians turned away from the church, turned away literally from their faith, because of criticism and judgment. What is our preparation? What do we do to prepare and to allow the fruit of the Spirit, as explained in Galatians chapter 5? What do we do to prepare ourselves for that? Just coming to church isn't going to be to get it done. Just doing our little 2 or 3 sentence prayers isn't going to get it done. Just being on a church roll and having been gone through the baptismal waters isn't going to get it done. It takes perseverance. It takes commitment and it takes dedication to get it done. We want the joys of salvation. Amen? We do. We all want the joy of salvation. We want to know that one day when we leave this world, and we all will, and nobody's taken any part of this world with them, we want that confidence. We want to know that. But yet that's the only thing we care about. Paul, more than once, said that our being ambassador means to represent Jesus Christ to our body, to the place we belong, to the place that we're a part of. You can't do it if you're not spiritual. And I don't mean some supernatural spirituality that we see out in religion today. I'm talking about a real spiritual desire to get into God's Word, know God's Word, to be able to help and assist somebody else that is really struggling and has been overtaken. Sin is not disappeared. It's still going to hang around for the remainder of this planet. How can we assist somebody if we're not prepared to assist them? Paul understands that. You see, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a man steeped in religion. But he only cared about the law. He didn't care about the people. And when you don't care about the people, then you don't care about what Christ considered to be important. We know that God said the greatest thing, the greatest evidence of our faith is to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. That's the greatest thing we can do. And the second is like unto it, and that's to love others, love our neighbors as ourselves. Our church family, they're not neighbors. They're family. And before we can go anywhere else and demonstrate this preparedness, we need to start in Jerusalem. That's right here where we are. Now, why do I say you need to be spiritual to help somebody? To assist somebody? Because if you're not, you can be swept away into the very same sin or an alternate sin because you're not spiritually prepared to assist them and to help them. That's why Paul says that. And that's why we need to prepare to love and help our brothers and sisters. One of my least favorite things to do is to do funerals and to do memorial services. They emotionally take everything I have. And why? Because I truly empathize with the family and the loss of their loved ones. I had another one last night. I had one the week before. And they were very difficult. They always, each and every one is. But God prepares me to assist these families. What was a praise to God is both those that passed on were believers. So you know what? We're to celebrate, not to be sad and weeping, because they have an eternal home and are now in the presence of God. The moment they close their eyes here, they're there in His presence. Hallelujah and amen. But we need to assist those that are left behind. And many times, we're not prepared to do that. Preparation goes farther than just being able to recite and to quote and to point God's word at somebody. Being prepared means to be able to get down on their level and love them, be gentle with them, not compromise with them, but to encourage them. That's what it means to assist. And you and my brothers and sisters, we are called to assist those in need. And we will start here at home. The second thing that he tells us in verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, that word burdens there is different than the one we're going to look at in verse 4 and 5. He says here that word burdens translated means heavy burdens. Heavy burdens, something that is so heavy upon a person they can't carry alone. I have found that to be sometimes people that are in loss. It's a heavy burden. No heavier than when you have spent your lifetime with somebody and that person be gone. And it is greater, it is harder than some people can handle. And we need to help us, we need to help assist them and assume part of that burden for them. Whatever it takes. You know, John 13, 34 and 35 is that verse that I quoted to you about how we demonstrate the love of God. We demonstrate the love of God by loving one another. Loving one another bridges all kinds of different differences that we have in each other. Because we do. We're all different. As compared, as I've heard said, we're just all like snowflakes. Not the political version of snowflakes, but the godly created version. Everyone is different. And so are we. But sometimes people are so burdened. And you know what? It doesn't take a real mathematical genius to figure it out. Be discerning in your spirit. You can tell by the appearance sometimes of people that there's something weighing on their heart and their mind that is just so heavy for them. Marriages. Sometimes marriage problems are just like that. Losing someone we love are just like that. Children that have gone astray are just like that. So what? We just give up on them and say, well, you know what, that's your problem, not mine. That's the common term today. If they're children, I didn't raise them, you did. You deal with the problem. It may sound funny to say something like that, but that's the way many act in the household of faith. It's not my problem, it's yours. So therefore, we never extend a hand to help assume some of that weight. And you wonder why so many people leave the church? You wonder why so many leave and never come back? Because in their mind, as far as they were concerned, nobody cared. Nobody cared. Nobody took the time. I don't care whether we got busy schedules. I don't care whether we have work that we think we need to do. What I care about is that person receiving the help that they need from you and I, who are supposed to be prepared to offer that to them. That's what I care about. I've gone door to door before, and I can't tell you how many times I have heard people at door to door says, oh yeah, I used to go to church a long time ago, but then I realized nobody really cared. They called it hypocritical. God loves us unconditionally, doesn't He? Well, how can we not love each other in the same way, in His kind of love and not ours? Not ours that puts criteria on that love. Not ours that puts if, and, and buts on that love. Not that which says, as long as you do what I say and how I say it, that kind of love. The Bible doesn't sanction that kind of love. Do you all hate yourselves? Well, we act like we love ourselves and hate others. We can't do that. It's not possible. We either love ourselves and we love others. If we don't love ourselves, then we can't possibly love others. And that doesn't mean a selfish, self-centered kind of love, folks. How do we love each other? How do we love ourselves? I can stand here this morning and say I've learned to love myself in the light of Jesus Christ. That's how I've learned to love myself. Took a long time coming. And I would definitely not like for y'all to have to wait that long for it to happen. But if you love yourself, you say I'm too unlovable, love yourself in light of Jesus Christ. He loved you so much He died for you. That's how we love. That's how we assume helping others with their very, very heavy burdens. Heavy burdens consist of those that had a job one day and have no job the next. And they have a family. They may have a wife and five kids. And their burden is so heavy because they don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to take care of them. If God leads you to them, He has an answer in your heart and in your life to help them and to assist them lift that burden. Now, understand something. It may cost you. Uh-oh. That's where the rubber meets the road. I'll do it as long as it doesn't cost me anything. I'll give up my time. I'll even give up my talent, but I will not give up my pocketbook. Because, you know, they can just get out there and get a job like I did. Oh, that's so much easier to say than to be done sometimes. In our world, in our economy that is up and down and in such chaos, what if that was you out there? We should all be here to assume and to assist that brother's family to help them get through till the next day and the day after that, whatever it takes. You know, I'm going to go from just stepping on your toes to meddling a little bit. I've been in this as a pastor long enough to tell you that most believers in the church have a lot more resources than they're willing to divulge that they have. I can guarantee it. They're saving up for that rainy day. And that rainy day is only about them. That is selfishness and self-centeredness. God can take away from you as quickly as He gave it to you. Resources. Those resources are God's. They're not ours. We are to help and serve one another as God's people. You know, a gentleman came, and I've been down this road before many, many times. And they may come and they may participate and they may be involved for a little bit. And when it's all said and done, the main thing that they need is money. Okay? There used to be a point where I'd say, you know what? I'm not going to do this. And so, as I did, and I began to be convicted. Because I had all the right reasons. They're probably drunk. They're probably this, they're probably that. I had all the normal human natural reactions to this. But God convicted me so deep to my heart because I've been helped over the years too. And I don't go to the church for it anymore. If God brings someone into my life that needs it, if I've got it, I'll give it to him. Whatever I can. I don't need any explanations because usually the explanations are long and the promises are great. I promise I'll pray it back to you and I stop people right off. Don't promise me something that you don't mean and you have no intention of doing. It's okay. If I didn't have it, I wouldn't give it to you. It's a gift. Now, if you decide to give it back to me, praise God. I'll have it to give to somebody else. But I don't really understand and know what they may be dealing with. They can say, well, that's not very good with God's resources. Wait a minute. It is God's resources, not mine. Many? Oh, I'm only speaking from personal experience. If I would go to the church and say, you know, go into our benevolence and say, you know, this person needs some money or they need some gas or they need this. Boy, I'd get questioned to the high hopes. Did you fill out a questionnaire on them? Did you get all the details? Do you have an address? Do you have a telephone number? Do you know where you can go get it back if they don't bring it to us? No, and I don't care. You don't know what God's going to do with that. You don't know. That person could be carrying a very heavy burden. And I'm not patting myself on the back. This is just something God convicted me to do. People have driven in here and said, you know what? I'm on my way to such and such. I said, okay, what do you need? I just need some gas. Okay, let's go down to the Circle K and I'll fill up your tank. I know it used to be a lot cheaper years ago than it is now, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God has never let me down. Never. We hold on to those resources like we're going to take them with us when we die. And we're not. Are we prepared to serve and assist and to assume other people's burdens that are so heavy? They're being crushed. Have you ever lifted anything that's so heavy that you thought it was going to crush you? Many of us have. That's what the heavy burden that he's talking about in verse 2 is about. Well, let's go to verse 3, 4, and 5. He says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." How prominent is that? We think a whole lot of ourselves. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that think a whole lot of themselves. Well, you know what? You're deceiving yourself if you do. Because outside of Christ, we are absolutely zero. Nothing. I don't care what you have financially, monetarily. I don't care what you have possessionally. We're nothing outside of Jesus Christ. And inside of Jesus Christ, we own nothing. He owns it all. If you think otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves. He says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own burden or his own load." In that is the same word as burden, but it is not the same burden that is in verse 2. The word burden here means to that which you can carry in your hand. You see, we have a responsibility to accept our own burdens. Sometimes we place ourselves there by disobedience to God's word. We do. I believe so strongly in the gathering together of God's people to fellowship, to grow, to learn, to know one another in intimate and personal ways. That's how we can learn to assist one another. It's how we learn to assume the help with the burdens that are so crushing on people. And also it teaches us how we might rejoice in the fact of examining ourselves. How does he say that? He says, "Let each one examine his own work, and then he will be rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." The work that we do in the name of the Lord, not the work that someone else does. We rejoice in the work that we do. How many of us in here this morning would say, "Oh yeah, I'm doing all kinds of work for the Lord"? Or have we passed the torch to somebody else and let them do the work and us rejoice in their work instead of the work we do ourselves? And then we need to accept our own small burdens. How do I view a burden that we carry? I always view these things as a training opportunity to teach us something. A burden of maybe we're not quite as frugal with our monies as we should be. And so therefore we place ourselves in a little bit of a distress. And so it may is a training opportunity to say, okay, I need to take care of this situation in the name of the Lord so that I can be a better witness. You know, sometimes Satan can take certain things and work them around to make us doubt ourselves. In our Sunday school class this morning, one of the questions was, what are some of the things that you have asked yourself what you should do next in a situation? And you don't know where to go, because we're learning about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to reveal to us His truth and the direction where to go. That doesn't mean He doesn't intercede and intervene sometimes. But most of the time, it's right here in God's Word, and He reveals and opens it to us. But I've had two very serious questions that I have asked the Lord for a long time. I began to ask the Lord 7 years ago, Lord, can I still pastor a church because I no longer have a helpmate? Can I be as effective in what I do because I don't have a helpmate to stand by my side and pick up the slack? She was the perfect soulmate and helpmate for me. She helped me in so many different ways. Her intuitiveness of spiritual things was phenomenal. She could talk to children in a way I couldn't. And she loved children. And I've honestly said, Lord, can I continue to pastor without her or without a helpmate? So far, I don't know that I've got a direct answer on that yet. So therefore, I'm going to continue on in the best way that I can for His glory and honor. And the second thing is, Lord God, how can I be an example with my intense, excessive behavior sometimes? Some of you understand what I'm talking about. You've got the same problem I do. Well, the Lord says in His Word that every one of us have weaknesses. And the encouragement is that in our weakest moments, He is His strongest. We can be used by God, whoever we are and wherever we are. So are we prepared to assist somebody? Are we prepared to assume to help somebody in their heavy burdens? Are we prepared to accept our own burdens? And are we rejoicing in the handiwork of our hands before the Lord? I pray that we are. I pray that we are. And so I want to ask you in this step one, if we have not done this, we're not prepared to do this, we need to get prepared. Because if you're a believer, you are not, you are a part of it. You're not disabled or, you know, said, well, you don't have to do this. We all do. And there's a word I'm looking for, but I can't find it, so that's okay. You understand what I'm trying to say? Exempt. Thank you, Miss Sue. Exempt. You're not exempt. Sometimes those words just fail me. My vocabulary is very small. We're not exempt, my friends. Are we prepared? Tonight, I want to look at three more things. Are we prepared to share? Are we prepared to sow? And then finally, are we prepared to serve? That's how we'll finish it off. Prepared to serve. We're not here on our own. We're here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're not here in the name of a church denomination either.